I was teaching workshops, seminars, and classes on communication through storytelling. And so what I do is I go in and I talk to folks about how to utilize story and storytelling and the narrative structure to tell stories that are compelling, captivating, but they also help users or the listeners retain information.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Richard Rosser. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Richard. One, he's a filmmaker and master storyteller who's worked on the hit TV shows, including Grey's Anatomy, Chicago Med, This Is Us, and 24. Two, he is an award-winning author whose latest book is ChatGTP Simplified. And three, Richard is energetic and loves exploring the creative process. What an interesting combination, storytelling, creative, and AI. Richard Rosser, welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thank you, George. I'm really, really excited to be here.
Richard, excited to be talking with you, especially about a topic, AI, which is on almost everyone's minds, and many of the tech leaders have already made predictions about how it's going to change our world, change our life, some of them for the good, some of them for the bad. As a storyteller and filmmaker, do you feel threatened by AI?
You know, when I read the news or watch the news or I pay attention to social media and dive in, I have this anxiety that sort of bubbles up inside of me. And because they're talking about, okay, it's going to transform the world in ways we can never imagine. And with the writer's strike on right now and the SAG strike on right now, and hopefully by the time this airs, those will all be in our rearview mirror. But with all that going on, I have a bit of agita about AI and ChatGPT. But then I think about the possibilities from a creative standpoint, and I get this excitement that bubbles up. And we can dive in a little bit more detail about that. But as a storyteller, I love the creative process and the technology that can help me and, you know, the folks that I work with amplify that creativity.
And Richard, that's curious. I find that you went from anxiety to excitement, which I imagine is a common experience when people are experiencing something new and we don't know all the answers. Therefore, is it a threat? What's the exciting part?
The exciting part is the ability to create things that, again, that we never conceptualized, that we never thought of. I mean, if we go back in past, George, let's go back way into the past to the 1450s and imagine that we are storytellers in the oral tradition, right? So I may be a bard, you're a minstrel, we have a friend of ours is a court jester, and we tell stories or we sing stories or we regale stories to the masses. And all of a sudden, there's this new technology. The Gutenberg press has just been invented. And there's this new technology, the printing press, and this new technology called books that people won't need to hear stories anymore. They can just simply read them. Well, imagine the anxiety that all of those performers and those oral storytellers went through at that point in time about this new technology, books, that was going to put them out of business and replace them. Well, think about now, how many ever years later, 600 years later, and now how many people make their living as actors, stand-up comedians, singer-songwriters, performers, artists? There are so many ways of expressing ourselves other than just the written word. And a lot of those folks perform in the oral tradition. And so to me, this is sort of a sea change moment, again, just like the printing press. AI is going to usher in a new time that we as creators can use a new technology, just similar to the internet, and create amazing things. And so the folks who really embrace this technology and work to understand it and how they can implement it can really benefit from it.
Now, Richard, as a filmmaker, it's all about storytelling for you. So have you already started to use AI to draft and craft your stories?
Well, in right now, because of the actor strike and the writer strike, all production has been suspended. But I do a lot of workshops and seminars, and I consult. And so I'm using ChatGPT and AI for that portion of what I do. And it's become an incredible resource. I started using ChatGPT back in January, and I was working on a workshop. I work with a career tech school, and they asked me to put together a workshop, storytelling for trainers. And I said, fantastic, it sounds great. Because they said, the trainers that they work with, some of the trainers, they tell a lot of stories, and some of the stories don't have a point. And then other trainers don't tell any stories at all. So they're not utilizing storytelling to emphasize their points and help their trainees retain the information. And they said, let's figure out a nice sweet spot between those two extremes that folks who are doing these training sessions can use storytelling to their benefit. And so I said, sounds great. And I got off the call and I said, okay, now what do I know about training and training sessions? And so I dove in and I said, okay, ChatGPT, what would a workshop called Storytelling for Trainers look like? And of course, it spit this outline out. And I went through, and some of it was kind of crap, right? And some of it was amazing. And so I took the amazing parts and I jettisoned the stuff that really didn't work. And it gave me a great jumping off point. And now, George, have you used ChatGPT, to help you brainstorm anything recently?
Well, in fact, Richard, I recently asked ChatGPT to write me a go-to-market marketing plan for me to approach a new market, which is the event management companies, to help them because they arrange event management and their clients are speaking at these events, but they're not so good and they could use my services as a coach. And I had never approached this market before. And I asked, and I wasn't really looking forward to writing a marketing plan. And I asked ChatGPT to do it, and it came out, and I looked at it and said, wow, this is pretty good. This is a good start.
Yes. And that is one of the beauties of this technology, ChatGPT, is that we can dive in and ask it questions, and it pulls from the billions and billions of pages that it has gone out and filtered through its system. And so it has ideas and information. You know, George, it's like sitting in a room with a philosopher and a scientist and a musician and having access to all these different viewpoints and approaches that are really different from our own. And so that is really the beauty of this technology. So you and I have both had experiences using ChatGPT to dive in and use it to explore possibilities. And I know that for the folks who are listening to Your Intended Message, there are opportunities out there for discovering possibilities. Again, whether they're speakers or they're marketers or they're CEOs, you can dive in and use this technology to help you brainstorm, outline, organize in ways that, again, you really never imagined could happen.
And I heard a couple points in there that are worth reinforcing, Richard. And one is we just can't all go lazy and say, well, I'll just let the AI do the work. One, we've got to think about what we want and we need to ask good questions. And two, we need to evaluate what's come back because, as you pointed out, some of it will be crap. And
right.
And so it's not that we can go lazy. It's no, we're just doing our research faster.
Well, you know, George, we're really using this technology as a tool. And I view AI in general and ChatGPT in specific as a tool similar to a calculator for a mathematician or an engineer. I mean, you wouldn't expect an engineer to put a rocket up in space, a SpaceX rocket, without the ability to crunch those numbers and figure out those formulas. You wouldn't expect that engineer just to use with a pad of paper and a pencil. So it's the same sort of thing as we work to create more incredibly complex concepts from a marketing standpoint or a R&D standpoint. We can use this technology to help us push the boundaries and push the limits. And that is really one of the most amazing things about this technology. But George, you brought up a really interesting point that I'd love to touch upon, which is, say, for instance, and now the questions that you enter into ChatGPT, they're called prompts. And so, say, for instance, you had some luck with this, putting together this marketing plan, and you say, Richard, check this out. I've got this prompt that I used, and I take it. And if I use that same prompt, I'm going to get a similar sort of answer. Now, if we were both writing blog posts, now they may be about a different subject, but our blog posts might really sound similar because we use the same prompt. Now, if I take the prompt that you gave me and I infuse that with my own personality, so I take it and I say, you know what, I'm gonna infuse it with my type of energy and my sense of humor, and I'm gonna have it interweave some pop culture references into the response. Well, all of a sudden, I've taken that prompt and I've really personalized it or customized it for my own use. And so all those folks who say, oh, this technology is just going to reduce all our communication to mush. All our answers are going to be the same. All our writing is going to be the same. Well, if we personalize the prompts and personalize the way we approach this technology, then we're going to get responses back or generated that really speak to us and really they interact with our personalities. And so I find that's one of the most important things. And you really hit it on the head when you talked about it before, is we need to harness this with our own creativity in mind.
Mm. And at one point I asked it to write a short sarcastic article about poor PowerPoint presentation in the manner of Godzilla versus King Kong.
That's great.
And it was pretty good and it was funny.
And so you could take that and you could analyze that from George's perspective and think about, okay, is this my intended message, right? Because that's what we need to do, is we are the arbiters. When we get a response back from this technology, we're the arbiters of the good, the bad, the ugly, what works and what doesn't work within the parameters of what we're trying to say. And so with this marketing plan, as you told us, you found stuff that worked and you found stuff that didn't work so well. And so you're gonna take the elements of that proposal or outline that worked for you, and you're going to expand upon those. You're going to use those. And the ones that don't work for whatever reason, you're going to push to the wayside. And so, again, we as humans are the critical thinkers. And that's one of the important things to keep in mind, is that when you ask or you enter a prompt to ask ChatGPT to generate a response, when you get that response, you can't just cut and paste it into a document and send that out, or into a blog post or social media. You need to read through it, proofread it. You need to proofread it both for content and form, but also, does it communicate the way that you want to communicate?
And I'm thinking of, people who might be anxious, still anxious about making use of a ChatGPT. I'm thinking we've always had some kind of we haven't always, but for some time we've had assisted writing, such as Grammarly.
Sure.
And even before that, we had spell check.
Yes, absolutely.
And no one said, oh, well, you're using spell check, why don't you look it up in the dictionary yourself? Well, so these are tools that we're using.
That's right. And so it sounds like you've used Grammarly, right? And now, have you seen Grammarly change over, say, the past 2 or 3 or 4 years?
I haven't noticed it that closely. Are you suggesting that it has? I'm guessing it has.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just like these new technologies, ChatGPT, which has come out in the past year, Grammarly has changed, updated. It used to be that you'd have to say, okay, I want to check my document with Grammarly. And it would go through and it would check. In the beginning, it was really a spell check and sort of a very, very basic rudimentary grammar checker. And now it's sort of Grammarly on steroids. And, it doesn't just check spelling. It doesn't just check grammar, you know, whether or not you can use a contraction or whether or not you've got the correct pluralization. It's actually checking the writing itself. And that's really where this generative or the large language model, GPT sort of AI, comes into play. Because with a large language model like ChatGPT, there are billions and billions of references to how things are written. And so Grammarly and ChatGPT and Bard and Bing and all these various platforms, they go in and they check grammar and writing and everything based on their voluminous amounts of information that have been filtered and trained through their system. And so it's comparing your writing or my writing to the hundreds of thousands of pieces of text that have been written and figuring out what is correct and what is not. And of course, Grammarly, they put rules into place based on grammar and content and all that. So I've watched Grammarly change immeasurably over the past 2 or 3 or 4 years in terms of its approach to not just being for grammar, but being now it has tone buttons. So you can say, you know, I want to lighten up the tone, or I want to make this much more dramatic, or I want to intensify the conflict of the tone that I'm trying to say or use here. And so again, ChatGPT is like the next level plus of Grammarly, because it's basically figuring out what word comes after, you know, word one, then what word comes after word two. And so it creates something based on the information it has stored in its system. And I mean, what one of the things that really blows my mind is you put in, let's do this sarcastic presentation about PowerPoint, and you could ask it, hey, okay, now do a version that's written as though it's Shakespeare or Edgar Allan Poe or J.K. Rowling. And so you can really take this technology and you can customize it and push it and tweak it so that it really feels like the flavor and feel of what you want to say, which is really, really, truly incredible.
And you mentioned earlier about training workshops. And when training, it's, of course, today, people are so distracted. If you want to grab their attention, you need to grab their attention with something that's different and interesting. And that could be a story that appeals yes. to them that they're more likely to listen to than simply saying, okay, here's the manual, here's what you do.
Well, and George, you bring up a great point. And, you know, when I'm a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was teaching workshops, seminars, and classes on communication through storytelling. And so what I do is I go in and I talk to folks about how to utilize story and storytelling and the narrative structure to tell stories that are compelling and captivating, but they also help users or the listeners retain information and remember and have a connection to what the speaker is saying or talking about. And so story, for the tens of thousands of years that humans have been communicating, we communicate through story. And our brains really understand story and narrative structure. And so when I go in, I work with folks to learn how to tell jokes better and how to tell tall tales and urban legends. And then we take those practical storytelling skills and we use them, those as sort of a template for using a story in a speech or a presentation or a job interview or pitching a product or a service or a program or an app that we've created. And so by telling a story, we create a situation where the audience starts to understand us and where we're coming from and what we've created in a way that really bonds the two together, bonds the speaker with the audience. So, and again, for your intended message, you can really get your intended message across much better because you're communicating with the audience on their own level, on their own plane. And part of that, and George, I'm sure, you know, this is part of what you work with your executives who are giving speeches and talks, et cetera. You probably talk about knowing your audience and writing or creating a program speech or talk for that specific audience, right? If you're going in to talk to musicians, you don't want to start talking about bottom line and debt to equity ratios. I mean, their eyes are going to glaze over, right? And conversely, if you're talking to executives in marketing and you start talking about how many beats per minute based on the drama of the composition, they're going to be going, what is this person talking about? So you want to find a common ground that you can share with your audience. And a lot of times that happens through storytelling.
And Richard, while you're saying that there, I'm thinking now when a person needs to go and speak to a group of people who are different from them. Mm-hmm. So if it's a salesperson talking to engineers or an accountant talking to doctors,
mm-hmm.
they might sit down with chat and say, give me the language that my audience needs to hear this message. Give me some ideas, yes. some words, some phrases that's going to resonate with this group.
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's one of the things that drove my seminar for storytelling for trainers. As I was putting this seminar together, I started thinking, well, these folks are trainers, right? They're training trainees on workplace safety or how to make cold calls or how to work with employees, lead a team. And so I started thinking, yeah, but they're not inherent storytellers. Right. They may be storytellers in real life, but they may not be comfortable coming up with stories from scratch or through whole cloth in order to create their actual training program. And so what I did was I stepped back and I said, well, wait, I'm using ChatGPT to help me create this program for trainers. Why don't I create a section for this program that helps trainers use ChatGPT in and of itself? I'm getting a little meta here, right? But why don't I use the technology itself to enable these folks to go in and say, okay, I've got a discussion or a training session on workplace safety. What are some stories about workplace safety that might be sort of interesting or crazy or, you know, about instances that happen that I can use to highlight my points about the importance of workplace safety? And watching out, not just for your own self, but for other folks in the environment, whether you're on a factory floor or out in the field. And so I really used this little section on ChatGPT to help the trainers come up with stories that work within the training sessions that they're designing or presenting so that their trainees can, again, come to an understanding about what the training sessions are about, retain that information, and then remember that as they go out into the workplace, they can remember those stories stand out, George. Stories stick with us. And again, there's a reason for that. There's brain science behind storytelling. George, have you heard of a concept called narrative transport?
I don't know that. No, please explain.
Okay, so George, imagine you're reading your favorite book or you're listening to your favorite piece of music or you're watching a favorite movie. Well, when you're involved with that medium, you get sucked into the story. You get sucked into the characters and they're characters that, you know, you love. And so you may have a pizza in the oven and the buzzer's going off and your pizza's burning and there's someone knocking at the front door because they've got a delivery for you. And everything just falls away and disappears. Why? Because you've been transported to the characters and the land or the time that is reflected in the book or the song or the movie. And so narrative transport is an incredibly powerful concept for storytellers. When we're talking to a group of folks, and again, we may be only talking to five people in a group that we manage that's working on a project. We may be talking to 200 or 300 people at some sort of an event for a company or marketing or whatever. But when we're talking to those folks, we want to transport them. Our ultimate goal is to get them to a point where they're not thinking about the fact that they have a couple of emails to answer and whether or not they just check their text and that they have another seminar in an hour that they've that they're excited about. All of a sudden, everything else falls away, and we get those folks involved with what we're talking about, what we're saying. And that's why it's so important to tell stories that really resonate with the audience. Because if we get them visualize these stories and come on this journey with us, we transport them to a place that that is really magical.
And Richard, I'm with you there. And I just went back in time in my mind to when I was an employee, when I was in the workforce. And I remember when certain movies would come out or a particular episode of a TV series that would be quite engaging. The next day in the office, we're all talking about it. We're all talking about that. And we're imagining that we were there because the stories were so powerful. They sucked us in, that's for sure. And I remember looking around the office and saying, gee, computer, end program.
That's great. That's great. I love it.
Richard, there's always going to be people who push back and say, well, listen, I've got a business to run. I don't have time for stories. What do you say to them?
Rethink it. Because again, story is a way to connect. Whether you're a CEO or, you know, high up in management and you're trying to connect to middle managers or employees, you can use story. And the founder's story is one of the most incredible stories, is one of the most important stories for a business. If you think about a founder's story, take Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak. The founder's story was they were working in the garage. They were putting together these original Mac computers with a wooden, you know, with a wooden infrastructure. And you think about that. And I mean, going from that, and 40 some odd years later, it's a $1 trillion company. I mean, that is incredible beyond belief. And so the founder's story or the stories that enlighten employees and managers in terms of what the owner or the upper managers have gone through to create this company or this program or this product, those are incredibly important because they help the folks understand, and even consumers. I mean, a lot of advertising is based on storytelling, and it's based on the story of what problems the product or service solves. And it's important for the folks who are looking at that project, the product or the service, it's important that they understand where it came from, because that helps them understand how it can help solve their problem. Yes, there are stories that don't have a point. And there are stories that are simply told for educational purposes. But stories have different purposes other than just, did I say education? I meant entertainment. There are stories that are just simply told for entertainment. But you can use stories for persuasion, education, as well as entertainment. And that's one of the points is when you tell a story, you want it to be entertaining and engaging, as well as educational and persuasive. And so you want folks to want to hear more about the story. And you can create a really compelling or captivating version of a founder's story, opposed to just saying, yeah, you know, we started off in the garage and now we're a $1 trillion company. I mean, that's not a really great way of telling the founder's story. The way of telling it is, you know, it's ups and downs. It's a roller coaster ride, and the viewers or the audience goes through that roller coaster ride. They're on that ride, as though we're back right there in the past, living that original sequence through a story. And so, for those people who say I don't have time for stories or stories aren't important, I would beg to differ. I would say that they need to reevaluate the stories that they can tell and the things that they can accomplish through storytelling.
And Richard, I can see a shout out there to business owners, founders, to ask themselves, what's your founder story? Are you telling it? And if not, why not? And by the way, you've got no excuse now. Here's a tool to help you put it together.
Absolutely. And so, George, let's go a step further. It's not just the founder's story, obviously, right? If you've got a product and a client meets with one of your sales reps and says, oh, yeah, you know what? We took your product and we put it out in the field and we did this with it. And all of a sudden, you know, we used it for a slightly different use and it solved another 20% of our issue. Well, that isn't that an amazing story? And again, I'm talking totally in the abstract here, but those kinds of stories are really indicative of the ability to use a product or service for something that has a slightly different bent to it. And those stories are incredibly important because they can enlighten the folks back in R&D or back on the manufacturing floor. How could we tweak the product or service in a way that takes advantage of what we just learned from a client or customer out in the field? And so those stories, we could trade those stories back and forth. And that's one of the values of storytelling, is it can help bridge the gaps between departments, between customers and actual business owners in ways that, again, if we think about this from the standpoint of ChatGPT and using these to brainstorm and outline organized possibilities, these stories can really help us overcome issues, overcome challenges, overcome problems in a way that is positive and forward-thinking. It's truly incredible, the value and power of storytelling.
And Richard, your latest book, who's it for? ChatGPT simplified, who's it for? What will they get from it?
Well, I'm not a coder. I'm not a programmer. So when I first came upon ChatGPT, I looked at it through a storyteller's lens, through a lens of communication, and how I could harness this technology for myself and for the folks that I work with on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, to use it as a tool, a technological tool, but helping us create. And so I wrote this book for non-tech professionals, folks who, you know, they may be fairly technically minded. I mean, I work in the TV business, and so I know about cameras, I know about special effects. I'm fairly technically minded, but I can't get in the weeds in terms of the programming on those kinds of things. But what I did was I wrote this book. It's a very quick read. It's really fun. I interspersed all sorts of pop culture references, so it's entertaining as well as educational. And so folks can read this book and get ideas of how to use ChatGPT and AI to help them really harness their creativity and amplify the individuality of themselves, but also the companies, product, services that they work for.
Richard, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a team leader in business who need to speak to their team and perhaps even clients as well and suppliers, if you could sit down with them and give them one, two, or three pieces of advice on how they can make better use of stories and how AI might help them do that.
Sure. When I first sit down with folks and we start talking about story and storytelling, a couple of the major points that I make are, number one, you want to connect with your audience. And the way you can connect with your audience is through emotion. Now, I don't mean getting emotional. I don't mean, you know, telling a tearjerker story. I mean, that's one way. But humor can also create an emotion. And there are all sorts of possible emotions that you can tap into or tie into as you tell a story or use story for a speech. And so the second thing is, I say, you need to know who your audience is. You need to think about your audience and really customize your talk or your story for that audience. And then that's where ChatGPT or AI in general can really come in and help you, is as you put together the basics of a story, you can say to ChatGPT, okay, how can you help me customize this for my audience of X, right? And you can type that in, and ChatGPT will help you hone that story or that experience, that sequence, for the audience that you're speaking to.
Powerful advice. My guest today is Richard Rosser, reminding you that when you tell stories, they get sucked into the story.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.